Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
Is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Friday to you as we come into the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee. Intern Parker's got the Periscope fired up if you want to watch along. How are we today? Thumbs up from Ben Lee. Cody McClure?
There's nowhere else I'd rather be on a Friday at 10 a.m. than right here in the Fan Run Studios. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere.
I don't feel like that's true.
Of course it is.
I feel like there are many places you would rather be right now.
Where else would I be at 10 a.m. than right here?
A bed?
Well, yeah.
A spa?
If it were a Saturday or Sunday, maybe.
The beach? You did say you like going to the beach in the winter.
Well, there are a handful of places I'd rather be, but this is top 10.
I'll take it.
Top 10 for sure. So I'm glad to be here.
I will take the top 10 designation.
How are you doing, Mr. Reed, on this particularly fine Friday?
I'm good.
Just good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Ben, how are you today?
He already gave his thumbs up.
I know, but I never ask him. He gave me a thumbs up, too.
Spoiler alert.
Parker?
No, we don't care how Parker is doing. Yeah. Sorry.
Parker did a double okay.
I think he was going. Was it a seven or an okay? Oh, double okay.
Double okay.
Okay.
I'm Parker's translator.
Any big sports stories last night?
Not really. The Lady Vols played.
Did they?
They did.
Did they win?
Did they win?
Yeah, did they win? I mean, that's...
They played at home, so yeah, they won. 73-62.
I could tell you didn't watch it as you were Googling frantically to see if they won.
73-62 over Auburn. I just knew they were down at the arena. They did win. They did improve to 16-8 and swept Auburn this year, so good for them.
Auburn's probably like, dang it, everyone else is getting their shot at the Lady Vols. Why couldn't we get one? We're not starting with the Lady Vols.
They're right on the bubble.
Trying to
get in that tournament.
Not doing that. I would rather talk about Kaepernick reportedly asking for $20 million from the AAF. I'd rather go down the Kaepernick road than talk Lady Vols.
Well, we can go down that road. We can go down any road you'd like.
Well, I thought the people that were surprised and upset that Colin Kaepernick reportedly asked for $20 million didn't really get it. Just kind of, to me, when I read that, it was just like one of those things where you don't really want to sell your house, but if someone comes and asks you to sell your house, and you're like, yeah, give me 10 times market value, and they say no, and you say, okay, that's fine. I'll just keep living in my house. Like, that's where the $20 million number, like, registered to me was like, yeah, if I'm Colin Kaepernick, I don't want to play in the AAF. That doesn't mean that I don't want to play football, just means I don't want to play in that league. And if I am going to play in that league, well, you're going to pay me $20 million. And everyone was mad about that, about him demanding a contract number. Took it as some indictment. When it was just kind of like, yeah, I'm not going to go play in this amateur league, semi-pro league at best. I guess it has to be a semi-pro league at best because, yeah, they're paying money.
Would he call, who would be calling the bluff?
They'd be calling his bluff by giving him $20 million.
If they called the bluff and said, we'll give you $20 million, you think he'd go play for him?
I think he'd show up for $20 million.
Seems like a significant amount of money to me. I don't know how much Kaepernick's making on endorsements and things like that, but it seems like a lot of money to me.
It'd be nice to show up and get that big check. But people who like got mad about that or thought it was some, well, this is proof that he didn't actually want to play in the NFL either. That's a straw man. That's are really grasping there.
That's a weird take. I guess he's probably doing pretty well for himself.
I'm sure he's okay. I'm sure he's still got money. I mean, he made a lot of money in the NFL.
I mean, he's got to be making a lot of money outside the NFL now, right?
I don't know. I mean, no, probably not.
Endorsements? Speeches?
I mean,
does he do speeches?
No, he doesn't really do speeches. I know Nike still got him on salary, which is why they went with the you know, the campaign.
Nike's got to be paying him a lot. They are paying him a lot. We saw didn't we see those numbers at one point? I forget what they were.
It was a previous contract that he had already had. So
it was a lot, though.
It wasn't like they had signed him to a new one, but yeah, they're like, yeah, you got years left on your contract. Let's put you to work. Just felt like a weird thing to see the Clay Travises of the world yelling about yesterday. Ah, how dare he ask for $20 million to play in this football league that's not really that important in these cities that aren't really that great to live in. Oh, God. $20 million. Who does he think he is? I think he's someone who doesn't really want to play football in that league, but will for a certain price. It's like if someone came to me and was like, hey, do you want to further your radio career in Iowa?
Absolutely.
And I would say, I guess, but I'm going to need $300,000 to consider the move, which is unreasonable in radio, especially in somewhere like Iowa.
They'd be like, okay, we'll stay in Tennessee.
And they'll say, we'll stay in Tennessee. And then you're like, well, you don't take your radio profession seriously. You could upgrade time slots and you could get back in the game and do this and do that. No, I'm good.
Well, even though you didn't care about my story yesterday about the fraud scheme with the Iowa radio guy, they are looking for a new host up there.
That's true. I mean, I guess to make the actual comparison better, I would have to have been when I was out of radio for a little bit. Someone came in like, hey, you want to get back in the game? You got to move to Iowa and, you know, it's going to be on a, you know, a really small college station. But, hey, would you do it? Would you consider it if we paid you? I'd be like, yeah, give me X amount of dollars. Well, we can't really afford that, so we're not going to.
All right.
Well, okay, not really interested in it. Want to do radio? Not going to move to Iowa and play in your little college radio station. No thanks. Or your internet-only radio station. No thanks.
And you'd have to live in Iowa.
Right. I mean, to me, it's that simple. That would be the comparison, as if we walked away from radio and someone came back with a really lowball, insulting offer that we think that we should be better than, right? Like, if you are Colin Kaepernick and you do think that you're an NFL quarterback, like, the fact that they're trying to make you play in the AAF, you would be insulted by, first of all, because you feel like you should be in the NFL. Either as a mid-tier to lower-tier starter or as a high-end backup. That hasn't happened. The best you've gotten is like a one-year, million-dollar deal from the Seahawks. And you think you're better than that. So at a certain point, it becomes about principle.
Des Moines looks like a decent little town.
Don't be fooled.
It's about the same size as Knoxville.
Don't be fooled.
A little bigger, actually. 217,000 people in Des Moines.
Well, think if it's not Des Moines. Think of the other cities. Every other city in Iowa except Des Moines.
What other cities are in Iowa? They have other cities there?
Can I name any?
Grand Rapids.
Okay.
Iowa City.
Is that a guess from Parker? Is that real? That's real? Okay.
What did I say? Grand City?
Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids. Grand Rapids. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's in Iowa. Grand Rapids population.
I think you're thinking of Cedar Rapids.
Michigan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just chilling.
Yes, Cedar Rapids. Great point, Ben. Cedar Rapids is in Iowa.
No, I think you're thinking of Cedar Rapids. I'm thinking of Grand Rapids. Grand Rapids is in Michigan, right? Waterloo. Isn't there a Grand Rapids?
I don't know. I was just thinking of the Vine, just chilling in Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids is in Iowa. It is a city in eastern Iowa. 132,000 people live there.
So where's Grand Rapids?
Michigan. I think you were right about that.
Okay. So we found a couple of cities in Iowa, but if someone asked you, like, hey, do you want to go do radio there at a small college station? What are you going to say? No, don't really want to, but if you need to know what it's going to take to get me there, here, give me $300,000. They'll say no. They'll probably put it out. They'll laugh at you, and you'll be like, okay, fine. I'm cool. That's the way I looked at it when that story came out yesterday. And then, you know, on the timeline, I just keep seeing all the Clay Travis retweets of people co-signing him about how stupid it is for Colin Kaepernick. And I'm just like, wow, you guys really just don't like Colin Kaepernick. And that's really what it comes down to. I would rather talk about that than Lady Vols, though. And even that conversation is so, that's so 2017. The conversation is so 2017.
I never suggested we talk about the Lady Vols. I was just telling you the score from last night.
Well, I did ask what the story, you know, what the biggest sports story was. You said, well, the Lady Vols did play last night.
Yeah.
That was your story. You didn't even know if they won or lost until you Googled it.
I knew they played.
Right. So you did kind of suggest it.
Waterloo, Iowa was way too small. Way too small. That's barely a city.
So if someone's like, go to Waterloo, Iowa and play. Go do radio in Waterloo, Iowa. You're going to be like, nah, I'm good.
Iowa. When we did the power ranking worst states, did Iowa make the list? It should have.
I don't feel like it did. Maybe, though. Been to Iowa. I can't remember.
Iowa?
Yeah. I think I flew into Iowa, and then we drove around, and we went to Nebraska.
It's odd to me because you haven't been to that many states, but you've been to Iowa.
It's where I spent my 21st birthday.
I will say, at least on the western side of Iowa, it does border Omaha. So
it was right after my 21st birthday. It was like the couple days after, maybe. Stepsister was playing in the NAIA championship tournament. That's where they do the NAIA championship for girls basketball, at least.
What is the NAIA?
Like the national, I don't know. It's like TWC. You Tennessee Wesleyan, you ever heard of Tennessee Wesleyan?
National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics.
Yeah, something like that.
That's probably what it is.
It's below D3. It's the very last.
The worst you can be. But, I mean, not.
I don't know if it's technically below D3. Or, I mean, I don't know if it actually is. I know technically it is. But, like, I feel like at NAIA you can give scholarships out. And I don't think you can in D3.
You can't
can't get, like, athletic scholarships in D3, right?
Yeah, you just get the academic help or whatever.
So I think in NAIA you can actually get athletic scholarships. So I think people actually go there instead. Like, I'm not going to pay to go play in D3 because that doesn't sound cool at all. You can't really tell someone, no, I didn't go D1 or D2.
Or FCS.
I paid to go to D3. Like, that one doesn't really have the same ring to it. So I think, you know, if you're – I think NAIA can consistently play with D3 and beat them, I think, is how it goes. I might be wrong on that, but I know that you can get scholarship money.
We forgot about Ames.
Ames, Iowa. Yeah. How can we forget about Ames? Whenever you ask me if I could name others, or maybe I asked the question, no other cities were coming to mind in Iowa.
25 amazing facts about Iowa.
What's number one? Or give me the top five. You got the top five? Is it a slideshow?
It's one of those. It's a long article.
Okay.
Here we go.
You can just do control search five.
The state was named after the Iowa people, a Native American tribe that once inhabited the area.
The Iowa people.
But what Iowa really means has long been a subject of debate. One account says it was coined when a tribe of Native Americans spied the land for the first time and proclaimed it Iowa, Iowa, Iowa. Which meant beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Then there's some say it's a variation of the French word Iowa, which means sleepy ones.
Anything about Iowa?
Not that I'm seeing.
Like, hey, the whole Sooners thing with Oklahoma, you just get all around, and then eventually they got to the land in Iowa, and they're like, hey, we're going to take over this land, you're going to pay me, Iowa.
Iowa is where the Ozzy Osbourne bat incident happened. I'd say if that's one of the top 25 most important things about your state, you're a pretty bad state.
What number did that come in at?
Three.
So not only is it one of the 25 things about you, it's one of the
top three.
The top three things.
That Ozzy Osbourne bit off a bat's head in your state. January 20th, 1982.
I never would have guessed it would have happened in Iowa. Like, hey, we rock and roll here too, guys.
Apparently.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought they would have had a concert in Iowa.
Yeah, why was Ozzy playing Iowa?
Makes a little bit more sense why he bit off the bat's head, though.
What are the major crops there? Corn?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Just corn.
We got number two. Like, is there a number two in the fascinating top 25? And we skipped four, I think.
Woolly mammoths are abundant.
They're dead.
Woolly mammoth bones are abundant.
What they want you to believe are woolly mammoth bones.
Apparently, they once lived in the area. So a lot of times, residents find woolly mammoth bones.
It's kind of cool. What's number one?
Yes. I gave you number one.
What was number one?
It was about the naming. I gave you number one.
I said give me number five. What was number five?
I don't know. Actor
Rob. Do you know how to do lists? You start at five and you go up.
I'm not giving you.
I said give me the top five.
Well, some of them are not interesting. Okay, number five is just like some random stuff about it's a mecca for, well, I guess it's interesting. It's a mecca for Olympic gymnasts.
Okay, I would have liked to have known that.
Thanks to the world-renowned Chow's Gymnastics and Dance Institute in West Des Moines.
Okay.
Apparently, Coach Ling Chow has two Olympic gold medalists, Sean Johnson and Gabby Douglas. So apparently hopefuls are moving to Des Moines. This is funny the way they word this. Other hopefuls are moving to Des Moines in droves.
I mean, they probably benefited from the whole Michigan State thing. Hopefully, Dr. Chow is on the up and up. Hopefully, he is a good man. Hopefully, he's not abusing our gymnastics like those scumbags in Michigan at Michigan State were doing.
Iowa.
I think that's a very interesting number five.
They tried to go to war with Missouri in the 1830s. Rob Lowe played in a PGA Pro-Am there. So.
It's interesting they tried to go to war with Missouri.
The phrase about the greatest thing since sliced bread, apparently that came out of Iowa.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
They're the ones that started cutting the bread.
Okay.
No, they're the ones that found something that was better than sliced bread.
Yeah.
No, they started cutting.
Oh, they invented the cutting of the bread?
That's what it says.
Okay. That's kind of interesting. I feel like that should be number one.
Yeah.
Forget how it was named. That's pretty interesting. Okay. Well.
It was a leader in gay marriage support in 2009.
I remember
even
that.
Even though many think of the Midwestern state as conservative.
And Iowa's always like the isn't Iowa always the epicenter of presidential elections?
Thought it was Ohio.
Primaries, right?
Oh, 3,200 wind turbines.
Okay, yeah, primary. It's like if you win Iowa, usually that's the jumping off point. Like they're the first big, or they're the first state that really gives you like an idea of like where the election's going to go, right? I remember like in, you know, 20, I guess it was 2015 or whatever it was. Like when Trump won Iowa, everyone's like, okay, this is actually going to be a thing.
The red delicious
isn't
apple
that what happened?
Originated in Iowa.
The Ted Cruz won Iowa, and maybe Trump just finished higher than we thought. Maybe that was it.
Well, apparently there are more hogs than humans in Iowa. The state's hog population is 21.2 million.
So Cruz won, but Trump performed well? Yeah. So Trump basically was like, hey, I'm here. And then everyone's like, oh, wow, okay, this is actually going to be a thing.
Good combine.
Mormons. Great combine. Mormons are there.
Corn combine. Go back to that pigs thing.
There's 21,000 hogs in Iowa, only 3 million people, or 21 million hogs.
Oh.
Yeah, I was going to say, that does not make sense.
7-1?
7-1 hogs to people.
Wow.
Bunch of hogs.
I bet they look at Arkansas. What's Arkansas's numbers there?
Arkansas doesn't have a lot of hogs. That's a common misconception.
They just have wild ones like in the Ozarks?
They used to have the wild Razorbacks like down in the southern part of the state.
I mean, if I was Iowa, I'd look at Arkansas as a bunch of posers.
Yeah.
Think they got hogs? Come to Iowa.
Oh.
We got 21 million of them.
How did I miss this? This may be the biggest fact. Clear Lake, Iowa is where the music died. Buddy Holly, that's where his plane crashed. I didn't realize that was in Iowa.
We learned something new today, a lot of things. And that was Talking Iowa with John and Cody. We'll be back on the other side. BJ tweets in, if Iowa was a separate country, it would still be a top three corn producing nation in the world.
And we could be the United States without Iowa. So, like, our average IQ probably goes up.
It'd be kind of weird if it was just right there in the middle, like, all of a sudden gone. We had to, like, drive around it or something.
Yeah, or have a...
Get our passport out to go through.
Like, imagine how inconvenient that would be if you lived in, like, Missouri and you had to go to Minneapolis every so often.
But we could also make Cuba a state and not to change the flag.
One good thing about Iowa is it does border the Dakotas. And to me, that's cool.
Well, it only borders one of the Dakotas.
South Dakota.
Yeah, it can't border both. It doesn't border both of them,
it
right?
It could border both.
It could, but it doesn't.
Let me look at the map.
Iowa map. You're supposed to know where all the states are.
I do know where they all are. I just don't know particularly where the border starts.
Sure, like where the border's in.
I'd say it borders both, but I could very well be wrong on that.
I don't view it being as high as North Dakota.
Well, I mean, the southern tip of North Dakota is all I'm saying. No, you're right. You're right. It's not. It only borders South Dakota.
Yeah.
Because I forgot about Nebraska.
Geography guy. Yeah. The biggest sports story, like, I mean, last night the NBA got to the All-Star break. Anthony Davis gets hurt, although MRI shows it's not serious. We will have Tennessee-Kentucky preview later on in the show. We'll really dive into that. And otherwise, like, I thought the biggest part of yesterday's sports coverage was Cody's argument blowing up right in his face. Like, on that same day where he's sitting here and he's making the case for Dick Vitale and he's hating on Bill Walton, Bill Walton offers up us a gem on the coverage last night. Bill Walton offered up a gem. Did you hear it?
I'd be interested to hear that.
Lucky for you, buddy. I got it ready to go.
Oh.
10 years ago last week, February 8th, my life was not worth living. I had nothing. At the bottom, I was going to kill myself. Today, I have everything, including all of the chocolates that Jan Kriskoviak brought us. Oh, I love my chocolates. Oh.
Is Dickie V giving you that?
Dickie V never told me live on television he was going to kill himself.
You're right.
10 years ago today, I was going to kill myself, and I didn't. I got some chocolates instead.
Kind of proves my point, though.
About how randomly weird his broadcasts are.
And it proves my point that it's awesome.
Is that really what you want to hear while you're trying to watch a basketball game?
That clip there was more beneficial to the audience than anything Dick Vitale has said in the last 10 years.
Is that really what you want to hear? A guy talking about how he was going to kill himself? Like, I'm just trying to watch a basketball game, Bill. I'm sorry you went through a difficult time.
He overcame it, though. It's inspiring.
Well, he doesn't have to tell us all about it on national TV.
He loves his life. He loves basketball. College basketball saved Bill Walton's life, maybe.
Maybe it did. Maybe you just call the game in front of you.
The game isn't always good in front of you. What happens then?
I guess you talk about killing yourself if you're Bill Walton.
Maybe the game isn't good in front of you and it makes you want to kill yourself. But he said, hey, 10 years ago, I was down at the bottom, ready to kill myself.
That just seems like an odd thing to just talk about on national TV.
Play it one more time, Ben. Cody's being too hard. It's enjoyable.
Call the game. How is that enjoyable?
It makes me smile.
Just call the game.
It's a man loving life. If you can't appreciate a man loving life, I don't know what to tell you.
10 years ago last week, February 8th, my life was not worth living. I had nothing. At the bottom, I was going to kill myself. Today, I have everything, including all of the chocolates.
You can't see it, but he's rubbing these chocolates all over his face. They're wrapped up, but he's just rubbing them all over his face. And then he throws them at his partner, which I can appreciate as someone who wants to throw things at you very often.
I mean, he just sounds like a kind of a lunatic.
That was the most viral clip. That was the most viral clip, the most viral thing that came out of sports yesterday. Like I said, other than Colin Kaepernick turning down $20 million to go play in the Reject League.
I mean, it's just a sad thing.
It's not sad. That's not sad. That's inspiring.
Maybe next time.
No, that's not sad. That's inspiring.
Maybe next time we tune into the game, we can learn about puppy genocide.
Or rescuing puppies from the shelter, which is kind of what happened to Bill. In a kill shelter, almost ready to die. Now he's living life just like the puppies who get rescued and brought home.
And I'm glad they get rescued. I just don't know why we have to hear about it during the game.
He just wanted to inspire some people.
I'm glad that Bill was able to make it out of whatever depressing hole he was in. But, do we have to hear about it during the basketball game?
I mean, I'm sure there are people who don't like him. Don't get me wrong.
Me?
You don't actually dislike him. He's right down your
alley.
No,
but I got to stick with my point from yesterday. I can't just flip-flop after a this or that segment.
I just thought it was timely.
Yeah, it is.
After you hated on him, he just comes out, and haters like you, Cody, maybe as well help drive him to the rock bottom. So congratulations. Hopefully Bill's able to stay above you.
All the counties in Iowa are square.
Perfectly square.
There is no diversity in Iowa in terms of county shape.
I'd like to see their voting lines. I think that's good.
White.
Well, I just meant like I wonder how gerrymandered they are.
What do you mean?
Well, that's what gerrymandering is.
I don't think that's gerrymandering.
Gerrymandering is like whenever you outline districts and like, is it districts? What else? In voting, like voting areas.
Why?
Well, the party who's in control gets to outline them. And you try to, well, I'm going to rope off all these votes here, and we're going to take the inner city, and we're going to try to get the rich population to be their own district because they're most likely going to go Republican. We're going to really draw this over here around the projects because they're probably going to go Democrat.
You're close.
Well, that's what it is.
Gerrymandering is to manipulate the boundaries of an electoral constituency so as to favor one part of your class.
How was I close? Is that not exactly what I said?
Not exactly, but I mean, you're like 99% right on it. So you were close.
Shout out to me.
If you had said so as to favor one part of your class, you would have been exact.
I said the party in control gets to outline it.
Right, you were close. Granted, really close, but not right on it.
I feel like I was right on it.
Pretty much.
Just a yes, you were.
99.9%.
We'll talk Tennessee, Kentucky next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. I'm blown away by this discussion that Cody and Parker are partaking in. They're still Game of Thrones'd out because, you know, they just rushed through it, and they're being really misogynistic. You know how McClure is. Misogynistic
what?
McClure.
What?
Talking about who the hottest babes are Game of Thrones.
I don't think we're the only ones that participated in the conversation.
I'm blown away to overhear that Parker and Parker's friends think that Ygritte, the redhead, the wildling.
Ygritte's up there.
Up there in what, the top 50?
Five.
Absolutely not.
She's not number one, but she's top five.
No.
Yes, she is.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, I think most people would agree that she's up there.
I would take Catelyn Stark before I'd take Ygritte.
Catelyn.
Either way.
Catelyn Stark. She's like 60, isn't she?
Eh.
What?
Just
really?
Saying. Ygritte is far, far down my list.
I tell you who's underrated is Gilly.
Yeah.
Samwell Tarly's.
I take Gilly over Ygritte as well.
When Gilly gets dressed up, I take Gilly over Ygritte.
Ygritte is
up,
down near the bottom half of the list for me.
No, she's not. The bottom half of the list?
For me?
You just don't like her voice? Is it her voice?
I don't find her attractive.
You know nothing, John Reed.
Osha. I take Osha over her. The cave girl who runs around with Bran.
Osha.
The wildling they captured. I take her if we're going wildlings. Ygritte's not even in the top of my wildlings power rankings.
Osha, I don't really remember much about her. I mean, Dany Targaryen's number one.
We're not going through the whole list. All I wanted to point out was just how dumb the Ygritte take was.
That's not a dumb take. That's a pretty solid take. How about Melisandre? Yes. Where do you put Melisandre? I think Melisandre is like top five, probably pretty close.
We've almost got eight people in Cody's top five. Keep going. We will have every decently attractive character being in Cody's top five.
All that really matters is Daenerys at number one. Ramsay's the girl that Ramsay was with before Sansa came along. What was her name?
I know you're talking about.
Do we remember her? She's pretty attractive. I mean, Cersei. Cersei? Yeah, Marjorie Tyrell, of course. How do we forget her?
They're all top five.
They're all top 10 so far.
They're all top five. All those you named better than Ygritte.
You said Brienne of Tarth, so I don't want to hear it.
That was a joke.
Was it?
Yes. It was a joke.
I think Jaime Lannister was always pretty secretly attracted to her.
Yeah.
That's something. Could we see that in season 8?
It's going to happen. There's going to be some type of payoff there. It's probably going to make Cersei mad, and Cersei's probably going to kill Brienne of Tarth, but something's coming. Something's brewing.
I like Tormund's relationship. Every time Tormund looks at her, you know, she's like so freaked out by Tormund.
Here's my girl, Osha.
Osha?
She's way better than Ygritte.
Oh, you're talking about, yeah. Her?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, no, the show.
No way.
She's a little too dirty.
She's in the bottom half for me.
Nah, not for me. Tennessee's going to head to Lexington tomorrow as underdogs in Vegas. Tennessee is going to go into this game as underdogs. Does that matter?
No.
Do you care? Does it matter to you?
No. No.
I know it's not going to really matter. I mean, it might. If anything, it would help the team, right? If anything, it'd be a positive for the team if that's just some type of material of like, hey, they don't believe in us type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any Vegas line has really ever mattered, has it?
Patriots, it did for the Patriots. Patriots talked about how the Chiefs were favorite.
Yeah, I guess it did something for them.
Patriots kept talking about being underdogs. You know, you heard Tom Brady talk about it right after on the field after they beat the Chiefs. It mattered to them. So I think when you say that it doesn't matter, I think that these athletes do look for a little bit of extra juice here and there. And the most powerful one is disrespect, right?
Right.
Is that the most powerful tool for an athlete is disrespect?
Probably. From a motivational standpoint, I guess you'd have to say it is.
I'd say it's number one. The nobody believes in us factor has got to be number one. Number two is probably the invincible feeling. You see it with the Warriors now, right? Like when the Warriors have to go out and go on a 12-2 run to get back in the game, or they have to really clamp down, you see them be able to do that. But I think number one is the disrespect. Now, sometimes the disrespect is, you know, warranted, and you're just not good enough, so it doesn't really matter. But a team like Tennessee, who is coming in on this long winning streak, is this going to be the third game they'll be underdogs in? They're underdogs to both Gonzaga and Kansas, right?
It would have to be only the third one then.
Kansas was like a 3.5-point favorite, and I believe Gonzaga was like a two-point favorite, if I'm not wrong on that. Maybe it was even one.
I wonder if this will be the last game that they are an underdog in, unless they play Duke.
I'd say if they play Kentucky. It depends on how these two matchups go with Kentucky, but the one in the SEC tournament, you could possibly see that as well. Like, I think Tennessee's going to be favored over Kentucky at home.
Right.
But in Nashville, if they play for the SEC title, I don't know where that spread's going to be. I think I'd need to see these next two games between them. But that should be it. Tennessee should only be underdogs in those potential matchups. Saturday at Rupp, and then potential SEC championship against Kentucky.
What is the number of points for being a home favorite worth in basketball?
I don't know.
Because in football, they always say it's like 3.
And that's like NFL. In college, it's more. In the NFL, you get 3 points for being at home. In college, it's, you know, home field advantage matters more.
So how many points is a home court advantage worth, I wonder, in Vegas?
Well, let's see. I mean, just I'm trying to look at a couple of factors. Tennessee's played a couple home-and-home so far this year. I'm trying to look. Against South Carolina, they were 15.5 points point favorites. At South Carolina, they were 8-point favorites. So maybe like 3.5 points. Against Florida, Tennessee was favored by 2.5, 3 points. And then at home, they were favored by what? 10.5?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's roughly coming in 3.5 points, right? Which would put Tennessee, if they played Kentucky, assume Tennessee. I've been saying for the last couple weeks that I feel like Kentucky is going to be a 2.5 point favorite tomorrow. Which would project Tennessee to be favored by 5, 4.5 in Knoxville. Do you have the numbers, Binley?
I've got NBA numbers. It says the average NBA home court is about 2.3 points.
Okay.
So probably around 4 or 5 for college,
yeah,
I'd say.
Yeah, you can go up a little bit extra in college because these kids are not professionals. They're not as good. Easier to rattle. Atmosphere is a little bit more hectic. I'd say 3.5, 4 points. Which would mean, I mean, that although at the same time, like, I don't know, like, if Tennessee and Kentucky played a neutral site, if you take the 3.5 points away from Kentucky, they'd be 1-point underdogs. Does that seem right? Like, if Tennessee and Kentucky played a neutral site, is Tennessee going to be a 1-point favorite? Maybe. Okay. So they're going into this game, like, you know, the motivation should be there. Like, you shouldn't be looking for extra motivation. You're the number one team in the country. But I do think what you've seen with Tennessee so far, especially with their emotional leader, Admiral, is that he kind of thrives on having that chip on his shoulder, right?
Yes.
Like, when Gonzaga bumped him and got him going, all of a sudden Admiral was the best player in the country.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was unbelievable in that game. That's one of the best performances of the year, for sure, by one player in one game. Now, I haven't seen him do anything quite like that since then. But maybe Saturday's the day. Maybe Kentucky will get him inspired again. I mean, he's made a lot of great plays since then. I'm just saying.
He hasn't taken over.
Well,
we haven't
been in a position for him to need to either.
There was one game. What game was it where he dominated the second half? There was an SEC game where he broke out of his slump. He had been slumping, and then next thing you knew, he scored 22 second half points. Was that it? That was at South Carolina. Because Chris Silva had 22 points in the first half and scored 4 points in the second half, and Admiral had like 5 and then scored 20 in the second half, if memory serves me correctly. That's like the only other flash you've seen, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he finished 9 of 17 from the field with 24 points against South Carolina, and that was after having 4 points in the first half.
Big finish in that game.
Helped pull that game away that was, you know, somewhat contested. But outside of that, no, Cody, you're right. Like, he hasn't had those overwhelming moments. Like, he still played good in games, but he hasn't had that I'm the best player on the court type of run.
Has there been a game where him and Grant both absolutely dominated on the same night?
I want to say, didn't they both go off against Florida? At Florida? No. That was Grant 20.
I mean, to beat Georgia 96-50, I'm thinking everybody probably played pretty well.
But not like in a big game there.
No, it wasn't a big game.
Against
was...
Gonzaga, Admiral had 30, Grant had 16.
Isn't that wild to think about still, that we beat Georgia by 46 points?
Yeah. It is.
Talk about a blowout on that day.
It is wild. I mean, that's supposed to be your peer.
Yeah, supposed to be.
Like a conference peer.
Tom Crean lost by 46 points to us.
And then landed the number one player in the country.
Congrats, I guess.
I mean, the South Carolina game at South Carolina is Grant and Admiral both, you know, they combined for 47 points. Admiral had 24, Grant had 23. Both of them grabbed 9 rebounds. That might be your best example. Are you trying to say that they're both going to need to be awesome on Saturday to win? Because I do think you're right about that.
Not necessarily.
I think they're both going to have to be. I think they're both going to have to score at least 18 points.
Yeah, I mean, nobody needs to be off. Do we have to be at our very best to beat Kentucky?
If Kentucky plays their very best, yes.
I mean, I think our A game beats their A-plus game.
Not at Rupp. If they play A-plus, no, not at Rupp.
If they play A-plus, they probably win either way.
At home? I mean, maybe if Tennessee plays their best game possible. Well, that's always so weird because if you're playing your A-plus game, that means you're playing really good defense.
I don't think there's any way we could play our best game possible and not beat Kentucky. Even in Rupp. I mean, I think just on paper, like you take the two teams, we're quite a bit better than them. So if both teams play the same level, I think we win the game.
I don't know how to judge, like, whose ceiling's higher. I mean, I think Tennessee has shown that they are really damn good. But there's been times where Kentucky has shown that, hey, they're pretty damn good, too. I'd probably agree with you, though. Tennessee's A-plus is probably above Kentucky's. Now, again, like, it's so hard to say that both teams could play an A game because, you know, that involves defense. And that kind of has, you know, by definition, take away a little bit from the other team. I don't know, like you said, though, like if you can afford having really any off nights. I'm not saying you need great performances from everybody, but everyone needs to kind of at least hit their averages.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bowden needs 12. Lamonte needs 8. Bone needs 13 and 7 assists. You need Grant Williams to, you know, Grant Williams against Kentucky's interior defense, that on paper looks like Tennessee has a disadvantage just based on, like, length and height and, you know, the type of players who have bothered Grant Williams.
One thing that might help is that everyone who plays for us won in Rupp last year. I don't think that Kentucky team was nearly as good as this one, but this Tennessee team's a lot better too. And they managed to get it done last year.
I do think the potential of, or not the potential, the reality of being underdogs in this game is a positive. I do think it's just a little bit of extra chip on the shoulder for a team who needs to kind of psych themselves up that way. We'll continue talking about Kentucky all throughout the show. We'll continue breaking them down. That's the game of the weekend in college basketball. Especially in Knoxville, especially in the SEC. Tennessee's about to go up a weight class. We looked at the schedule yesterday in terms of, you've played one tournament team in the SEC so far. Your next stretch is going to be all tournament teams except Vanderbilt, who sucks. God, Vandy's trash. We'll continue breaking it down. We'll probably go to the hat next since it'll be just a little short segment. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, going to continue talking Tennessee, Kentucky throughout the show. Huge game, obviously. We'll get into the ins and outs of it in an hour, too. The matchups, what Kentucky does well, what Tennessee is going to have to do against them. Well, it fell out. You want to trust the gods?
No.
That was probably a good one.
I don't trust that one. All right, let's
going
see.
To the hat.
See what we
going to the hat. Oh my God, what
you're
is
knock,
wrong with
you're
you?
You're knocking a lot of them out. All right, let's see what we've got in the hat
you
here.
You threw a bad one. It's your fault. I knocked out four good ones.
The Greek gods. Aphrodite, total babe. Artemis, one of my favorites probably. Ares, Zeus, of course. Who was the god of war? Was that Artemis? That's Ares. Ares, probably my favorite. Ares, god of war. And there were many others. Zeus. Poseidon.
Yeah.
Who Poseidon. Are your favorites?
I always struggle with this. What is the other? The
Hades.
Three gods and the what are the other ones?
The Romans.
The Romans.
Same, basically the same. They're the same famous. Thing, just
right,
different
they
names.
They got different names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apollo.
I'll help you out if you switch between the two of them. Like Apollo, that's no, that's Greek. Yeah, that's right.
Ah, Hephaestus. I forget about Hephaestus. He was the ugly one. You remember him? You remember how ugly he was? Guess not.
Nemesis, the god of revenge. I mean, I feel like we took that one into. To real life, right? I mean, we still use that term.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like we should maybe capitalize it, though. I think we should show some respect. Can we say that?
We need to capitalize nemesis in all things nemesi now?
I kind of feel like whenever you say someone is your nemesis, I feel like it should be capitalized. You're speaking of a Greek god.
Well, technically, the Greek gods, you could still... Well, I guess it's a lowercase g, but you uppercase the name.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I guess you're not talking about the actual goddess nemesis. You're talking about, you know, just an enemy. But I think it's cool that, you know, we brought that in.
You remember Hermes? Always
he's
on the
run. He's the fast
run.
One, right?
Always
he's the,
on the run.
The messenger.
Yeah. Is he the? Did he have something to do with Nike? No? What did he have?
Nike was a different god.
It was...
Nike has the wings of an angel and rides a chariot.
Is that where the check... Wait. No. I'm trying to think of Hermes.
Hermes probably wore Nikes.
Hermes was the messenger god.
Yeah, I know. I know he's running, right? He's always jogging around.
Yeah,
he had the shoes with the wings on him.
Does any apparel company use the wings? I'm visioning something in my head, but I can't place it. No? Okay.
Red Bull?
Yeah, maybe that's it.
They give you wings.
Is that what I'm thinking?
They're not. No, you're thinking of some kind of shoe.
Yeah, but I can't place it.
I'm not sure what it is either, but I know what you're talking about.
Hypnos? God of sleep? I mean, I feel like we're using a lot of these things. Hypnosis, you know, sleep type of thing. Hades?
I think we should get some winged shoes.
God of the underworld?
Yeah, a.k.a. hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hades, he was the number one enemy of Zeus.
But also his brother. It's tough.
It's weird that the Roman name for Hades is Pluto. And that Pluto is then a planet.
Well, it's the furthest planet from the sun, which is weird because it's the coldest.
When I think of underworld, I mean, we're not supposed to think of hot. Was Hades hanging out, like, in? Was it cold down there where he was at?
But then their Hermes is Mercury, which is the closest planet to the sun. Fastest year, though.
We also think of Hades as being kind of the furthest away.
Do we?
I think so.
I think of heaven being way further away than hell. I feel like hell is just right under your feet, buddy.
Hades got the bad shake. I mean, like, Zeus, Poseidon, Hades, all brothers. I mean, Zeus, obviously, like, top dog, but, like, Titan, their dad, eats him. Zeus saves him, and then he's like, "You know what, Poseidon? You can rule the water. I'm gonna rule everything else, and Hades, you get hell."
Hades is best known for the way he won his wife,
Hera.
Persephone.
Oh, I was thinking
Hera, Zeus's wife.
Yeah,
he kidnapped her.
Mm-hmm. And trapped her in hell.
And then trapped her in a dark cave filled with zombies all year round.
Seems like a pretty bad experience for her. You ever think about the inside of the Earth?
Like the mantle, know what it's called?
The
outer core, inner core, mantle.
Yeah. Like imagine the inner core. Like if you were to just dig far enough to somehow get to the inner core of
it's
Earth.
It's magma.
Maybe that's hell.
Is that where the name Nike came from?
Maybe that's hell.
Goddess of victory? Is that where they got the name Nike?
I'd say so.
Yeah.
But I know the story that you were thinking of is like there was a message from Hermes to Nike. He lent some guy his shoes or something like that, and then he went to Nike, yelled out her name, and died.
Hermes wore Nikes.
Goddess of victory, Nike. All right, we learned something at least out of this. Nike's named after the goddess of victory. Hour two coming at you. We'll do headlines, then we'll break down the Tennessee-Kentucky game a little bit more in depth. Stick with us to talk sports on Fan Run Radio.